Murder is in opposition to the way of Christ. He is the giver of life. We need to step into this story and be shaped more and more, because here's what I know. Fear is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. Fear is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. And we need the perfect love of God to cast out the fear that is at work in us. Confusion and division and deception are schemes of the dominion of darkness. Yet we have good news. Light breaks through the darkness. It wins every time. Every time you put darkness in a spot and then you shine light, what wins? The light. So let's shine light. Let's be children of the kingdom of light. Let's be those recipients of the kingdom of the Son whom God loves. Welcome his kingdom here and now. It's a work of the Spirit he's already been doing so that we can follow Jesus together. We can follow Jesus together. Weeks ago, we anchored our series in Luke 12. Do not worry. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of this will be given to you. Oh, my little flock, do not be afraid, because my Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. If you have been greatly distressed this week by something in the world or in your life, take heart. The Creator God wants to give you his kingdom because it pleases him to do so. Ask for it. Seek it. Long for it. Welcome it. Colossians 1, pray, live, bear fruit, be rescued, and join the rescue of forgiveness that we are to be on mission for. Amen? Let's pray. God, this room is so beautifully diverse, and yet there is something that holds us all together, and it's you. We were made in your image. We are the delight of your heart. We are the pursuit of your kingdom coming to deliver us and rescue us. We might be diverse in experience, in life stage, in circumstance, in faith journey, whatever it is, but you and you alone are to be the one in whom we find our unity, our calling, our purpose, the good news of your kingdom breaking in here and now. So we say, more of heaven, please. More of heaven, please, oh God. And right now, I pray peace over the room. Peace, oh God. Fill us with the peace that you promised, Jesus. Where we are experiencing fear, I pray that your perfect love would come in and displace it so that we're not insecure and uncertain. We are secure in you, and we are certain of the hope of heaven. We need you today, oh God. We say, come. Give us wisdom that comes from you. Timeless and eternal. Amen. Sermon 1. Check. If you get up and leave now, I won't read anything into it. I'll just be like, you got what you needed. That was it. We're good. Man, we got time to grab lunch before the game. Cool. Now, if that wasn't, I mean, that was, however, you, I don't care how you took it. You took it. I delivered it. There we go. Now let's talk about intimacy. Seriously, that was actually the talk for today, is intimacy. How do you transition from that? I don't know. We've been in this conversation about God's kingdom over my castle. And today, the whole talk is on intimacy. Closeness with God and with one another. Specifically, I want to be clear, I am talking to married couples in the room. But as I said last week, if you're in the room and you're not married, you're still in the right place. because I believe the scriptures have life, and there's an intimacy we all long for in our life. And I want to maybe say something that might feel a little bit, however it feels to you, I don't know. One of the traps of our day and time is we have turned marriage into an idol. Meaning, I cannot have a fulfilled, intimate life if I'm not married. That's actually not true. That's actually one of the flaws of how we might understand relationships. And what happens is we often look for intimacy apart from God. Therefore, we have detached ourselves from the source of intimacy, and we will look for it, and all we will get is pseudo-intimacy or man-made intimacy. We're going to see it in the scriptures. That's a problem. I am going to talk to married couples because I believe within the beautiful gift of marriage, intimacy is what we are to display and experience, but it is sourced by God. But if you're in the room today, when I talk about all of this, this is for you because intimacy is a gift with God that we share with others, which means this is what it looks like to have maybe a best friend or to walk and live in unity and community with others. So if you will allow me the grace, if you're single, like there's something in this for you, and it might be a gift you have to give to somebody in your life. And if you're married, I'm not talking about your spouse today. I'm talking about you. Deal? Sweet. So let's be in Colossians 3. Last week we talked about forgiveness. We need forgiveness or intimacy is impossible because you are imperfect. Not your spouse. You are imperfect. Therefore, you will break relationship through your sin and your imperfection, and therefore we have to have a mechanism for repair. Forgiveness is found in the living God. Forgiveness is how we repair relationships and make a way for intimacy to continue. So last week, do not go look at our podcast. Do not listen to it online. It's not there. Just go read Colossians 3, the same passage, and look for everything you can gain about forgiveness. It's necessary and required to repair. But today, what I want to remind us is that intimacy has always been a gift from God and was God's intent and design from day one. Intimacy is God's intent and design from day one. In the garden, God creates man and woman, naked and unashamed. And this is not about physical bodies only. This is about total intimacy, becoming one and not alone. It's freedom. It's being known by God and by another. In the new heaven and new earth, Revelation 22:4 says there will be no more tears, death, or pain. We will be united with God and his church in total freedom, complete wholeness in the presence of God and others. That's actually what intimacy is. It's wholeness in the presence of another. No hiding, no shame. Relationally united, connected, drawing life from God and sharing that life. So Colossians 3, here we go. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ and set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This is everything. All of this work brings us back to our Creator, not distancing us from. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect, let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Look, there is so much more that I could tackle. Remember, this is like sermons 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're not going to do that to you today. It's all good. Just go read it. Like, read the Bible and say, God, talk to me. I had to listen to Kurt for longer than I wanted to, but maybe this would be better. Like, just do the work. Read the Bible. Ask God to talk. There's so much more here. Intimacy is a gift found in God's kingdom, and here's why I know. He's saying there's an old way that you used to live apart from my rule and reign, and that's idolatry. And he then describes idolatry in some terms that, if I'm honest, our culture at large would take offense and issue with. What he says is, there is sin that produces pain. There is sin that produces idolatry. There are things and patterns and ways of living that you think are going to fulfill your life, and they do not, because they are outside of the boundaries of my kingdom. And when you live outside the boundaries of the kingdom of God, you experience the consequences of that. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. This only applies to people who are professing faith in Jesus, for the record. If you're not raised with Christ in new life, then you are going to continue to figure it out as the king or queen who sits on your throne. But in faith in Jesus, you say, you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords. You now are seated on the throne of my life, and I humbly yield all that I am to you. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, What I believe we're bumping up against is God created intimacy. That is the work of the kingdom. Humans create idolatry. That's the work of sin. Intimacy or idolatry? Here's what I mean. Idolatry is the result of sin found in opposition to God's kingdom. Idolatry is the trap of sin that moves us to self-centered living. I know better. I will make a way in my own effort. It's my own design. It's my own creation. It's my desires. It's my preferences. So we get sexual immorality and impurity and lust in a category that what God is saying to us through the writings of Paul to the early church is, this is going to steal from you. And it steals from marriages all the time. Because we then elevate our sexual wants and needs above the created image bearer of God. Greed captures my heart. I need more. I want more. I need more. I want more. And that becomes a barrier to the intimacy we're supposed to experience with God and others. ultimately what we're tipping our hand to in our lived experience is our desires are real. They are present, but they need to be transformed by God. Idolatry is the worship of a physical object as God. We begin to believe the lie of our culture that I cannot be fulfilled unless I get my needs met. And then you're stealing the intimate intent of God from your marriage. See, God sets certain things in the boundaries of the relationships that can honor it and care for it, esteem it as a gift from the Creator, not mine to take. We seek something in the created thing that was always meant to be found in the Creator. We seek love in a physical act. Elevating it now as an idol, saying, this will be the thing that fulfills me. And God is saying, hey, you're made in my image. Be fulfilled in me. Find life in me. Get your identity in me. And then share that in unity in the relationships you're stewarding underneath my kingdom rule and reign. Our sinful earthly nature perpetually produces idolatry. And God knows we need transformation. He explicitly names sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and greed. Money and sex, for the record, for married couples, are two of the most difficult arenas for couples to navigate because it's about power and control. I want my way. I want the control, the authority, the power, and the enemy has wrecked marriages by creating disunity. And God is saying, set it at my feet. Lay your life at my feet. Find intimacy with me, the eternal creator. And then unite your life with another person who's doing the same thing. Because here's the trap, spouses. If you're not finding your fulfillment from God fully, secure and intimate, then you look at your spouse and you go, hey, honey, I'm so glad God gave you to me. Even do you hear that? Because you're there to fulfill me. That's the subtle hook. I've now turned my spouse into God or an idol, saying it's your responsibility. Because see, Paul says, wives, submit. Uh-oh. Now somebody's going to stand up and leave. No, that's actually not what is happening here. Paul is writing to a people. Yes, that's actually what it says. He gives a context, but he's actually doing something different that we can't miss. He is speaking honor and blessing to the wives of a day and time that were not honored and were not blessed. He is saying, hey, wives, pay attention. You were made in the image of God. And your life is not at the mercy of a human. You are under the authority of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Therefore, live your life in a way that is pleasing to who? The husband? To the... Is that what it said? Did I botch that? Don't just take my word for it. I mean, let's double check. Let's trust and verify. Boom. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the... In the intimacy. The intimate place of security with God is what we live from. Now, husbands, do not be harsh with them. You, intimately connected with God, now have a soft heart and a secure place to live from. So you don't have to be harsh and demanding and treat them as a tool to be used for your own projects. Ephesians 5. More writing from Paul places this whole thing about mutual submission to God so we have intimacy with God. What I'm actually saying, people, is this. Do not follow Jesus and try to live your marriage on the side. Don't do it. Do not try to follow Jesus and look for intimacy that is not saturated with the Creator. It was his design and his goodness before sin entered the equation. Go read Genesis 1 and 2. His design and his goodness wants unity and intimacy in his body. Marriage is a picture we have here on earth, but it cannot become an idol we worship. That would make it idolatry. It is to be a place of worship yielded and submitted at the feet of Jesus. So then we're free to walk in the ways of Christ and to hear the boundaries that God sets for us so that we're walking united and connected, which then brings us back to, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, patience, and gentleness. Show up in a way that intimacy can flow emotionally and mentally, dependably, because our lives are set on heaven, our minds are set on heaven, our hearts are set on heaven. The character and the fruit of our lives bear out heaven. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Oh, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And it keeps going. Paul is restoring the value in men and women to bear the image of God, but draw life from God first before we do anything else. Paul is reorienting us to live into a new standard in God's kingdom, showing women they have a God standard for their life, and men have a God standard for their life, because it is a death to the old ways, welcome the new ways. Amen? Y'all tracking with me? Okay, here we go. Please return your seats to the upright position, because here we come. We're going to land it. Intimacy must be about our worship. Everybody in the room, friendship, intimacy with God is about worship. Anything else we do is to bear the fruit of his kingdom, to show the way. If you are an employer, you're relating to your people, to your team, to your leadership in a way that bears out God as creator, us as image bearers, so that relationships get whole and we can do things like this. Y'all can watch how far I'm coming down. Chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Intimacy makes a way for connection. Idolatry makes a way for consumption. Bear with each other and forgive. Intimacy prioritizes humble and mutual engagement. Idolatry prioritizes self-centeredness. Forgive as the Lord forgave. Intimacy focuses on surrender and relational repair. Idolatry focuses on control and judgment. Let the peace of Christ rule. Intimacy focuses on humbly receiving God's kingdom. Idolatry focuses on pridefully taking what you think is yours. Be thankful. Intimacy is about a soft heart making room for relationship. Idolatry is about a hard heart centered on all the things I've yet to consume, take, and get. God in his perfect creation created intimacy before the fall, and our hope of heaven is all things are made right and new. All relationships are whole because we are whole in the presence of God, drawing life from the Creator, worshiping him together as one body. One body. Heaven will be about one body of believers, men and women worshiping God, united. Every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping God, the creator of all. There is a better way for us. There is more that God wants to do. Will you welcome him close? Intimacy with God, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I could talk for hours. I did this weekend. But you know what I want? I want something that takes about 5 seconds. Humble hearts willing to surrender. If you're married and you're here today, is there a place you need to surrender to the Lord so that your relationship can take a step forward? Is there unforgiveness? Is there a barrier to intimacy you know is present and you have not invited God to come? Humble hearts willing to surrender. Maybe you need to humble yourself to your spouse and go, I have pridefully tried to exert control and power over you, and I need to repent. Maybe there are things that you have just kept separate from God. It is humble hearts willing to surrender. What do we need to do in this room as these people in this place to show the world a different example of following Jesus together? It is on us here in this place, in this time. God, would you come? I believe there is something for all of us. God wants to speak to us. There are old patterns that need to die. Freedom in Jesus' name. Deliverance from the dominion of darkness in Jesus' name. There are new patterns that need to show up because God wants you to be whole and full of joy so that you can sing spiritual songs to the Lord and go, you're awesome! Bring your fear and lay it as a feat, as an offering in worship instead of holding on to it as an idol that you think is going to bring you what you need. What is it today? God, I thank you for the amazing people in this room. They are made in your image. How cool is that? God, we need you. So I just pray by your Spirit. This is what we read in the scriptures. Your Spirit wants to speak to us so we can understand and be empowered. So I pray right now, let it happen. Set our minds on things above. Let that be a thought that comes right now. Set our hearts on heaven. Give us hope today for the hopeless. Come, Lord Jesus. What's God saying to you? What's your response? More intimacy with God so we can be a people united in his kingdom here and now. Let's stand together. As we stand, I'm going to invite prayer ministry teams to come. There are so many ways we could pray today, so we're going to pray for everything, period. If you need peace, come get prayer. If you have old patterns that are not producing the life you want, come get Jesus and then ask for his new patterns. Come get the Spirit to lead you into understanding. If you need prayer for your marriage, come get prayer. If you've been lonely, come get prayer. If you're angry, it says let go of all anger, rage, malice, and filthy language. Come get prayer. The scriptures say it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Here's the good news. Because God designed us for intimacy with him, his soft heart is what draws us. He's ready and willing to meet you. If you are here today and you have never become a follower of Jesus, that is the beginning of the life I think you're looking for. Come and just say, God, I surrender. Have your way. And we're ready to walk with you forward into the future. God, we pray for your kingdom to be poured out. I don't know. I just want it more for us. So as we close today, we just say, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in us and through us here on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray the blessing that can only come from you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on every person, on every household. We want you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we'll linger and pray for as long as you need.